There's a whole, let's go to Isaiah 32. The wave offering is the essence of the feast of Pentecost. And we've studied where the wheat was grown and how it was processed and what was done with it and how there was a sin offering and all that with it. But the wave offering is the word for wave offering is the Hebrew word tenupa, or tenupa. And it's a word that's used in many places throughout the scriptures that wherever it's used, it's the shaking. It's the thing where that he's shaking all things, for only that which is unshakable can remain. The wave offering, as we studied this morning in the morning Bible study. The entire tribe of Levi was considered the wave offering. They were considered the tenupa, or the shaking. And they were an offering. And so they had to be considered as dead. They had to be dead to ambition, dead to personal feelings, dead to anything except sold out service in the tabernacle. And they were the picture. They were another aspect of the picture of what we as believers are supposed to be. But mainly they were to be the instruments of the shaking, this tenupa. And they were, you remember, the only reason the Levites existed was for the firstborn. If the Levites were the exchange from God's standpoint, for the firstborn. And so you can see why there hasn't been Levites for 2,000 years. Because no one could consider that, first of all, that the Levites would be dead, that they would be the offering, that they would be the wave offering, that they would be the tenupa, that they would be the instruments of the shaking of all things. Isaiah 44 and 45 predict that there will be Levites. But it's like, I mean, you know if you are or not, right? I mean, you know, there's obvious Levites, like the two on the couch there.
You bump into stuff a lot.
Huh?
You know you're a Levite.
No, I mean, you know, you try everything in the universe, you try everything you get right, you try to satisfy things, and nothing works. But there's a place in your heart that's fulfilled when you find out that that's all right. You're supposed to be that way. I mean that's that. If there's, it gave meaning to the losers of the world when we reinstituted the Levites. It brought majesty to failure. If you think about it. It's Israel is taken out of the world. The priests are taken out of Israel. Then the Levites are taken out of the priesthood. So that from the standpoint of what, again, from this morning we talked about it, it's the top of the spiritual food chain are Levites. They're above the high priest. But their function is to be this wave offering, this thing, this instrument of shaking all things on the face of the earth. And that's what we're about. Don can't wait till we get the private investigative license so he can carry a gun. It just scares the holy crap out of me.
An armed Levi.
Don't tell Gary.
Gary will never get a gun.
never.
No, Gary, can
not, you just have one bullet.
You don't get near him.
Marty
five. No, you don't even carry the holster.
But I mean, this is giving a whole new meaning to what,
especially trucks.
This is a whole what?
Don doesn't want to go.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Not around him. But it's like what we are about is starting to come into focus. What we as a people are about. And what we are a people is about is to give structure to the Levites so the Levites can shake all things. Understand? A little bit? Do you think that might be possible? I mean, we certainly didn't plan any of this crap that's happening. It just happens. But anyway, examples of this tenupa, this word that means, let's go to Isaiah 30. We're there. We're already there. Isaiah 30, starting in verse 27. Can anybody understand what I'm talking about? Or does anybody violently disagree with me?
I don't understand it, but I like it.
It's almost like Catholic priesthood, where they give up everything to
the monk. But they didn't become the activists, the action. I mean,
radical priests.
Radical. But
yeah, I'm not the same feeling, but I mean, it's spirit. Kind of the same idea, giving up, you know, being totally dedicated to service.
Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. I can say that. Verse 27, 28. And his breath, as an overflowing stream, shall reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. Now, if you can hear what he's saying here, is now the whole of the world is the wave offering. And he's shaking the whole world. He's running everything through the sieve first and shaking. I know you like to hear about this, but no, never mind. I won't give Larry a hit.
It's going to freak Larry out.
Yeah.
His breath as an overflowing stream shall he reach to the midst of the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of sieve. Sieve. How do you say that?
Sieve.
Sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. The contrast is, and again, it's like the one song, some feel fear, some elation. And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod, and in every place where the ground staff shall pass, the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking or tenupa will he fight with it. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large, the pile thereof is fire and much wood, the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. Remember what Tophet is?
Hell.
It's the valley of Tophet, the valley of slaughter. Gehenna, the dump.
That's the Tophet's the high place in that place.
Tophet is the high place in the dump. Remember? It's where he caused the... But it's like... I don't know how to get the feel of this out. I mean, this is more of a feel thing than it is an intellectual thing, but like you don't throw anything into the dump until you shake it first, or like, you know, it's got to have served its purpose, and then it gets thrown into the dump. And when that shaking, he never throws anything away. When the shaking If you know you're not, if you know you're, you know, it's the analogy, if you know you're the seed, the shaking is good news. If you don't know who in the hell you are, then you're going to try to go get converts of the chaff. This idiot called me up in there in Oklahoma. And I...
No, he was...
We talked a great deal about how if you don't know what you believe, you have to go get converts to justify that, see... Go to Isaiah 19. That was the burden of the Lord concerning Assyria. What we just read in Isaiah 30. This is the burden of the Lord concerning Egypt.
Who's Assyria?
Hmm?
Who is Assyria?
It's the whole area where the Chaldeans and the Babylonians and the...
I mean, what's it, no, I meant, what's it symbolize?
Well, it symbolizes
Babylon.
Babylon. It's a type, I mean, it's but it's more than Babylon. I forgot.
I thought it was spiritual idolatry. That's what I always think.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway...
It's so funny, that thing we just read, that's where we got the name Brimstone from. None of us understood what we were reading about, but there's a big one.
Charlie Brim and Kyle Stone.
Yeah. The breath of the Lord.
The burden, yeah, the here. Yeah. Start the fire and get things done. The burden of Egypt. Behold, the Lord rideth upon a swift cloud, and shall come into Egypt, and the idols of Egypt shall be moved at his presence, and the heart of Egypt shall melt in the midst of it. And I will set the Egyptians against the Egyptians, and they shall fight every one against his brother, and every one against his neighbor, city against city, and kingdom against kingdom. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof. And I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols, and to the charmers, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. And the Egyptians will I give over into the hand of a cruel lord, and a fierce king shall rule over them, saith the Lord of hosts. And the water shall fail from the sea, and the river shall be wasted and dried up. And they shall turn the rivers far away, and the brooks of defense shall be emptied and dried up. The reeds and the flags shall wither. The paper reeds by the brooks, by the mouth of the brooks, and everything sown by the brooks shall wither. Be driven away, and no more. Everything by the brooks shall wither. You got that? The fishers also shall mourn, and all they that cast angle into the brook shall lament. They that spread nets upon the water shall languish. Moreover, they that work in fine flax and they that weave networks shall be confounded. And they shall be broken in purposes thereof. They shall be broken in the purposes thereof. All that make sluices and ponds for fish. I wish I knew what that meant.
What are sluices?
Sluices. Sluices. Like a fish channel that you cut to move the water from one pond to another.
Like a sluice of pot.
Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. The counsel of the wise counselors of Pharaoh has become brutish. How say you unto Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are the wise men? And let them tell thee now, and let them know what the Lord of hosts hath purposed upon Egypt. Princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Noph are deceived. They have also seduced Egypt, even they that are the stay of the tribes thereof. The Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof, and they have caused Egypt to err in every work thereof, as a drunken man staggereth in his own vomit. Neither shall there be any work for Egypt, which the head, or tail, or branch, or rush may do. You got to remember that one. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women, And it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he shaketh over it. And the land of Judah shall be a terror unto Egypt, and every one that maketh mention thereof shall be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which he hath determined against it. On verse 16, the two words, and fear because of the shaking of the hand of the Lord, which he shaketh over it. The shaking is the tenepah, the wave offering. Okay, again, we see the wave offering, the use of that technical word as a word that causes shaking and destruction in everything. If we could see and understand, that's what happened on the Feast of Pentecost. Originally. Okay. In that day shall five cities in the land of Egypt speak the language of Canaan and swear to the Lord of hosts. One shall be called the city of destruction. Well, anyway, I don't want to go off
that. When you say that it's a technical word applied to something to do with the temple, that is then applied to Egypt.
And to Assyria.
And to Assyria. That's a whole other... It's not just punishment. It's this other thing that's happening that I hadn't considered.
It has nothing to do with punishment.
Yeah. Because it sounds like that shaking, that's what it sounds like. God's he's just raining down wrath, but there's another, and if you don't believe that he's all in all, then that's what you'll think. Or that you'll ascribe to that theory.
Let's go to Isaiah 10. See if we can see it some more. Let's start in verse 20, it's the promise, everything. In verse chapter 10, in the first part, is about the destruction of Assyria again. And then in verse 20 it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return even to the remnant of Jacob unto the mighty God, for though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return, or shall, word return there, shub, or shall repent. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, the word consumption means destruction, you understand that? Even determined in the midst of the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwelleth in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. But as that his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And he has come to Aiath, as he has passed to Migan, at Michmash, he hath laid up his carriages. I don't know what that means. They are gone over the passage, they have taken up their lodging at Geba, Ramah is afraid, Gibeah of Saul is fled. That's all the places where the tabernacle stood before the high places where the tabernacle was, before it landed forever at Jerusalem and now the New Jerusalem. Okay? Now begin to understand. Lift up thy voice, O daughter of Galim. Cause it to be heard unto Laish, O poor Anathoth. Madmana is removed, the inhabitants of Gebim gather themselves to flee, as yet shall remain at Nob that day. He shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Behold, the Lord of hosts shall lop the bough with terror, And the high ones of stature shall be hewn down, and the haughty shall be humbled. And he shall cut down the thickets of the forest with iron, and Lebanon shall fall by a mighty one. Now the word 32, he shall shake his hand against the mount of the daughter of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. Now that's what's happening. The mountain is shaking. The mountain of Zion, the mountain that we that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. And the high, lofty ones are fallen. And it shall be more and more and more and more. But we have to see that this is the function. I mean, praise God, or I pray that we are not lopped off with them, but everything in me tells me that our function is to serve as the shaking. To serve not as the wave offering, but as an instrument, or one of the instruments of the shaking, as the tenet pot. Can you hear that? I mean, why else would he have put together this weird group of people?
I remember what Rick said to you at dinner, that his mother just came back from her big camp meeting, and all the speakers there talked about
part-time life.
Part-time life.
No kidding.
All preachers talked about it. That's amazing.
Okay, let's go to chapter 11. I'm going to read the whole chapter here. Does anybody else want to read it? Larry's going to read.
Oh,
you heard him.
He cleared his throat.
Larry's going to read. Clear his throat.
Yeah.
That way, in case I'll rest my eyes.
He's hiding the tears because he didn't get to read.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again, the remnant shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left. From Assyria and from Egypt, and from the Pathros, and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar, and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcast of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab. And the children of Ammon shall destroy them.
Obey them.
They shall obey them. And the Lord, just check. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river. And shall smite it in the seven streams, and shall make men go over dry shod. And there shall be an highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt.
Okay, verse 15. With his mighty hand shall he shake his... With mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shot. Again, this idea of shaking. Shaking is destruction to the senses.
It's like a baptism. When he goes, they go over dry shot.
Now, it's also, however, the word is a technical word that's used from a spiritual standpoint. To shake, to tenefa, means to heal. So let's go to 2 Kings. Chapter 5. This is the curing of Naaman's leprosy. And I want, you all know the story. So just go to verse 11. It says, But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now, that word strike there is the word for tenepa, or the wave offering. The idea that it's time that we as a body began to understand that God's word for healing is not our word. God's word for healing says that I know within me that I lack nothing, that I am perfectly able to do whatever is set before me. There's no feeling of lack. There's no, God's word for healing primarily has to do with leaven. God's word for healing says the leaven is out. Doesn't have anything to do with it. Idiotic stature of whether or not I have pain or whether or not. It has to do with the spiritual understanding that I have no more leaven within me, and we as a body have no more leaven. Now, the beauty of it is, and this is what is so neat about this wave offering on Pentecost. The offering itself has leaven in it, but it's still waved and accepted before God, and it's used as the instrument for the wave offering. You understand? It's the mind says it has no leaven. Am I communicating?
So there's leaven there, but
you don't see it. You don't see it. You don't pay any attention to it.
It's like there's sin there, but
it's like this. It's the thing that you've got. It's at the core of this. It's the mystery of God that says, "I'm never going to improve. I'm always going to be a bum. But I abandon myself when I'm standing perfectly healed. I'm never going to get any better. I'm not going to." Whatever it is, whatever you think about. You know what I mean?
We know experientially that there's never anything that happens in Bible study until that leaven is shaken out. Whatever the source of it. There's no healing, there's no fellowship. But the moment that happened, nobody got better all of a sudden. But you know, we got shaken. Like you said, I like that. Because that's what we know to have happened with us.
Well, it jives with the description of a God who calls things that are not as though they were and things that are as though they're not.
It's like convicted of judgment.
I'm thinking about the sense that, you know, in order to be cleansed, the leper has to see himself as totally leprous, and there's something about the bringing out all of the leaven that we cause what happened in Naaman to happen.
Let's go to Numbers 8. Numbers 8. studied this in the morning Bible study, so but I'm sure that it won't hurt some of you to review it again. What?
Probably Doug and Pete probably don't remember.
Would you like to teach on the meaning of it? Yeah, Rick needs to come in. He needs to if I ever get to take a vacation, we'll have Rick come in and teach stealth during the time of God. He can teach the book of Leviticus. That's what his specialty is.
He's done a lot of work on it, I know.
He's got to have a happy, successful relationship.
That's a lot of notes. He could do the love
side. He could teach how to troll for Harry.
Now, we've already got Harry. Why would we need to troll
for him? No, trolling for Harry's benefit.
On behalf of, as opposed to for.
That's how we call making the cool.
And Aaron, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so, and he lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, again, if we're right, and trust me, I know that we are, that light is everywhere and always at the same place, at the same brightness. Just as much light in this cast iron as there is in that light. Or there's as much light in this cast iron as there is in the sun. The thing that causes light to be visible is shaking, is tenepa, is resistance, is this. You understand?
So when all things begin to be shaken, and God light, finally shakes everything, and then light is going to like burst out of
light everything. Will burst out of everything, like at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Heaven's when a bomb explodes.
Sorry. Yeah, everything is shaken. But, so again, this chapter refers to that, to the lighting of the candlesticks at front. And it doesn't make any sense to the natural eye, because the next thing is talks about the Levites being cleansed. Well, what they don't understand is the act of cleansing the Levites is the act of lighting the candlesticks. Mm-hmm. Both are tenepa.
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm.
It is interesting.
I don't know what it means, but it's interesting.
God.
So we're a little slow. We're all you got, buddy.
So we're a lot slow.
So we're a lot
slow.
All those other people ain't coming here. It's just us.
And this work of the candlestick. Well, and Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold, unto the shaft thereof, unto the flowers thereof, was beaten work according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. In verse 89 above, from 789, And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubim, and he spake unto him. Remember what I've said to you so many times, that the burden of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, is a place, and it's the place under the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. That's the oracle of God, the burden of God, the word of God. That's, and let every man speak as the oracle of God, in 1 Peter. It means let every man speak from the certainty that he's seated on the mercy seat underneath the wings of the cherubim. It's positional. It's not earned.
Yeah.
Understand? So there's no excuse for your bullshit. Oh, poor me. I'm just such a poor man. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites.
Shoot him.
Take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them, to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all of their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Now, what is the reason for the shaving of the flesh?
No covering.
No false covering. And then let them take a young bullock with his meat offering, even the fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together, and thou shalt bring the Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands upon the Levites. Now, you understand, symbolically, the Levites are becoming the offering for the Israel, for all of Israel. What are you doing now?
I was just offended at what Barbara said.
What did she say?
She said, the children of Israel shall put their hands on the Levites, and she said, they wish.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to see Barbara with her head shaved.
I'd like to see you with your whole body shaved.
You wish. You wish.
Brooks. You should be so lucky.
That's the big stick.
Get the big stick.
Brooks.
That's way out.
One giant coned.
That's the most disgusting thing you've ever said in your entire life.
Shocking.
Barbara, you just ruined this whole section. And Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering. The word offering there is a tenupa. The Lord shall offer the Levites for a wave offering. That they may execute the service of the Lord. Specifically, what it says in verse 11, it says, and Aaron shall wave the Levites before the Lord for a wave offering of the children of Israel, that they may do or execute the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, to make an atonement for the Levites. And thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for an offering unto the Lord. You understand that you can't offer, this isn't waving them, this is an offering of them. The Levites are as dead. And that's the picture. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them and offer them for an offering. For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as open every womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel, have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. In the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel, and I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron and to his sons from among the children of Israel, to do the service of the children of Israel in the tabernacle of the congregation, and to make an atonement for the children of Israel, that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh unto the sanctuary. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel did to the Levites according unto all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did the children of Israel unto them. The Levites were purified, and they washed their clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord. And Aaron made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And after that went the Levites in to do the service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This is it that belongeth unto the Levites. From 25 years old and upward, they shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge, or concerning their charge.
Months, 24 days. Yeah, they weren't about having hidden leprosy either after all this process. It had to be shaved. And
yeah. The same thing was done with the waters of jealousy. He shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse, and the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter. And then shall the priest take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, and shall wave it before the offering before the Lord, and offer it upon the altar.
Does he wave it if she doesn't get sick?
Either way. It's time that we entered a different level of spiritual understanding in the camp. It's time that the members of the camp took it for granted that they were one with the Lord. Took it for granted that these things that we have been looking into are part of the inheritance, so that we can get on with the service of God. Let's get beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. To do that, we become as little children. And so let's make that the hallmark of this Pentecost. Except you become as a little child. And let's just let it all hang out. Okay?
No, especially.
That's enough.
I still want to see you with your handshake.
Anybody have anything else? Let's let this be a Pentecost that there's never been such a Pentecost. Amen? God is cooperating with making it nice and cool, yes. Relatively speaking.
When you said, you know, it's time for different understanding camp that everybody should know, the one Lord, I pray that the part of that would be that everybody here throughout this body, people know that we're one with each other, and that, you know, that we'll finally stop with believe in the lies of separation that work amongst us.
Amen.
That just amongst us, not even, you know, what goes on out in the world, but if we could quit believing that and be so quick to believe the worst.
Amen.
Yeah. We saw a deal last night. It happened that there was only a momentary slight offense between a couple of people in Bible study last night, but it became clear to them and to us at the same time that, you know, that was the work of a brother who was to provide that. And the moment that was understood, then, you know, then we're able to go on. They were able to be united. You know, it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. There has to be the knowledge, you know, that it was that shaking.
Right.
And it's exactly what was happening. It was the shaking between me and David. But it didn't, you know, it could have caused, I mean, there's a moment where it was going to cause.
Pete's a troublemaker, you know.
Separation. I noticed that.
He's
it causes shaking.
Yeah.
Pete's a troublemaker.
He's a touchstone for a lot of people.
Used to be, remember when we'd have this, like we'd have the first fruits and stuff from the acetides and everything, and one of the questions is, well, do you have anything against anybody? And everybody, without exception, had to go talk to Harry, right?
Pete.
Now, they have to go talk to Harry, and they have to go talk to Pete.
So whoever has the clipboard.
Not one person came to talk to me.
Harry.
Who?
Okay, take a big guy.